Dad, how are you? Have you heard about all the stuff that's been happening around here?
It's 8:45, and I have just returned from my visit with the Mum family. This turned out to be quite delightful, and I'm not going to dwell on it right now, but I'll tell you more about it sometime later. I ended up being invited to come back tomorrow. They asked me to come back at 12 o'clock. It's the father's 60th birthday, and they're having a family celebration. I told them I couldn't make it and explained to them why, and they said they were sorry, and then they said, could I possibly make it before 1 o'clock? And I told them I'd do my best, and they said, well, now, they're a Buddhist family, and they need to have their prayers between 12 and 1, and if I possibly can, to try to make it by 1 o'clock. So I'm going to hightail it in here after I complete my work out at Thon Son Nhut tomorrow. They asked me if I could eat Vietnamese food, and I told them that I could. Well, I'm going to leave that there. I'll report more about this family later. I want to take the rest of this tape and tell you about the Tuiwa trip. Now, I am using the old tape recorder, the electric one, which I think will give you more volume at that end. I can't control it, as you know. I can't start and stop. So once this is rolling, I'll just keep moving. I left here at 11 o'clock in the morning last Tuesday and took the most roundabout flight I've ever taken. I went from here to Cam Ranh, to Nha Trang, from Nha Trang to Pleiku, from Pleiku up to Da Nang, and from Da Nang back to Pleiku. In fact, when we got to Pleiku the second time, I took my bag and started to climb off and got out on the runway and looked up and said, welcome to Pleiku, before I knew I wasn't at Tuiwa, and then on over to Tuiwa. We didn't have long delays any place, but it was 6:30 when we got to Tuiwa. Russ Norville and Bill Cochran both met me. Russ is leaving, and Bill, a captain who's recently been grounded from his flying duties, is taking over from Russ. They told me that we had a trip scheduled the next morning to go out, the next afternoon rather, to go out to a couple of the hamlets. Now, here's the story on these. About 2 to 3 weeks ago, the VC infiltrated these hamlets where the RD teams were located, and they were considered a couple of the most successful pacification programs in country. The VC came in at night, routed the people out, and made the people themselves dig ditches and bunkers right beside their homes. And then, before daylight arrived, they sent word out, apparently, that they had control of the village, and the Koreans, who were providing security, came in and tried to roust them out. They couldn't. They couldn't roust them out without destroying the village. So as the Koreans went in and took one casualty after another, they said the Korean commander finally just put his hands in front of his face and used loudspeakers and told the people they'd better get out because they were calling in air power. So they called in air power and artillery and leveled these two hamlets. They destroyed 500 homes in one and 320 some odd in another. It seems to me that it was a very tactical victory on the part of the VC. Now, while they killed a few VC, it seems to me that the other side won an attitude victory here that just won't stop. We were going out to the hamlet with the Cords people at district to take tents. We loaded trucks. I say we. They loaded trucks, and then we went out together and delivered 35 tents on Wednesday afternoon. I understand that Neil Miller, the Cords representative, took another truckload out on Friday morning, on Thursday morning, 27 additional. Now, these are big tents. These were used as administrative offices and BOQs and airman housing prior to the time that the permanent buildings at Tuiwa were constructed. And they're quite roomy. Knowing how little space the Vietnamese can get along with, I would anticipate that in a pinch, at least six families can live in one of these tents. On the scene, it was quite pathetic. People were using bamboo and straw and were building hutches to try to provide themselves a place to sleep. For the first time since I've been here, I felt that I was quite unsuccessful in trying to visit with people. I would tell them who I was, ask them their names, tell them how old I was, ask them how old they were, this sort of thing as I got acquainted, which has worked so beautifully here. And so far, it was so good. But at this point, almost without exception, every older person I talked with began trying to tell me about his problems, about his home. He would gesture. He would say things about the home, obviously saying, I'm almost certain he was saying, look what the Koreans and Americans did to me. Now, what are you going to do to restore it? And, of course, I was in a position of not being able to say anything. And the pleasant part of the Tuiwa visit, of course, was the call on Pastor An, Mrs. An, and the look at the church and the school that's being built. The extension to the church has been completed, and they're very proud of it, and the value has gone up tremendously. The two-story school building behind the church is built on what used to be a swamp. The engineers at Tuiwa hauled load after load of field dirt to provide a foundation, and the Protestant men of the chapel have done a great deal in making it possible to build this building. The first story is completed. The classrooms are finished, very nicely decorated in good taste. The second story is well along and can be completed within a month if the weather will cooperate. But the weather is restricting the capability to do certain concrete work. I took some pictures there. In fact, I borrowed Sergeant Bennett's Instamatic 104, exactly like whose, which I've sent back to the States to get repaired. And while it was fairly dark, rainy, I'm hopeful that I got some good pictures of the building, of the church building, of the new school building. And I took a couple of Mr. and Mrs. An in front of the building. They asked us to stay with them and have refreshments, which we did. They told us about the boy Dien, who is coming to the United States in the 67-68 school year as an exchange student in high school. And they asked for my address there in the States and my address here, and want to stay in touch.